Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations with Pastor Ken Klaus.
The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations. The resurrection of Christ forms the foundation of Christian faith, which explains why many people are not Christians. Pastor Ken Klaus presents a message inspired by and dedicated to those who don't believe Christ rose from the dead.
For almost 2,000 years, we have been preaching Jesus Christ died and rose for you. And for just as long, people have rejected that message. Rather than telling you only what I believe, I thought I would go to my unbelieving friends and, yes, I do have unbelieving friends, and ask them, what is your stumbling block to faith in Jesus?
Stay with us for Pastor Klaus's message. Hello, I'm Mark Eicher. Later, Pastor Klaus wonders why Christmas seems to draw more attention than Easter, and we'll learn about a children's booklet that tells the Easter story in rhyme. Now, with a message titled, An Unbeliever's Sermon, here's our speaker emeritus, Pastor Ken Klaus.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. On this Resurrection Sunday, the world is divided between those who believe in the living Lord and those who do not. May the Holy Spirit use this message to move souls from doubt to deliverance. In Jesus' name, amen. Peggy was a conscientious driver. When she set herself behind the wheel, she did not drink and drive. She did not send or receive texts. She did not speed excessively, and she did not give in to road rage when people cut her off. Because she was a good driver, when her vehicle began to shudder, stutter, and pop, she was already in the freeway's right lane and was able to get safely to the shoulder of the road. That was the way the situation was when, in her rearview mirror, she saw an Arkansas Highway patrolman pull up behind her. The officer approached her door, had her roll down the window so he could ask the traditional questions. Are you all right? What seems to be the problem? Peggy replied she was okay, but her car seemed to be internally hemorrhaging. The officer had her release the latch on the car's hood. Although not a mechanic, he was able to rule out some of the basic vehicle difficulties. Next, the officer asked Peggy to scoot over and placed himself behind the wheel. He turned the key and nothing. It was then the officer asked, when was the last time you filled your car up? As near as I can figure, you're out of gas. To that good news, without thinking, flustered Peggy said, is that all? Great. Officer, can you tell me, will it hurt the car's engine if I drive it home this way? To the officer's credit, he didn't grin or chuckle when he replied, well, ma'am, you may believe that will work, but I believe you may find the trip to be a frustrating experience. Peggy believed one thing, and the officer believed another. The belief of one was right, the belief of the other was wrong. In this particular case, it is not hard to see who was correct. But there are other times, very serious times, when the choice does not seem to be so obvious. Today is Resurrection Sunday, the most important day in the calendar of the Christian Church. If you are unaware that today means more than Easter bunnies, Easter eggs, and Easter bonnets, I can tell you this is the day Christendom celebrates the resurrection of the Redeemer. You see, I, and a great many people, believe that Jesus Christ, God's innocent Son and the world's Savior, rose from the dead 3 days after he had been murdered. Some of you, and there are also a great many of you, don't believe a single word of that sentence. Simply stated, that means one of us may be right, and at least one of us is definitely wrong. Now, if you are an unbeliever, you may think, no problem. If you don't try to cram your faith down my throat, we can each believe what we want and everyone will live happily ever after. This live and let live motto seems really good on paper, but from a Christian's point of view, there is a problem. The problem is this. We care about you. We care about you because you are our brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, spouses, children, and friends. We care about you because Jesus told us to care, but also because we believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven, which means he is also the only way to escape going to hell. And we don't want you beloved people to spend eternity in that bad place. More importantly, we believe God doesn't want you to spend eternity in a place where hope has been banished and happiness cannot be found. So you could be rescued from such a desperate and depressing fate, the Lord sent his Son into this world. You probably know part of his story. You may know how, according to God's promise and prophecy, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. True man and true God, he did for us all we could not do for ourselves. Where we have sinned, he was perfect. Where we broke God's holy laws, Jesus kept them. Where we have fallen into temptations, he resisted them without a stumble or a misstep. Last week we remembered how Jesus carried our sins to the cross and was crucified. When he died, the work of buying us back, of paying the ransom for our rescue, had been fully paid. These are some of the things we believe. They are the things which, when believed, move us from hell to heaven, from damnation to salvation. These are the things we believe in. For almost 2,000 years, believers have been inviting unbelievers to join them in worshiping God's Son who takes away the sins of the world. That many have come to believe this is borne out by the fact that the Christian Church is the biggest organization the world has ever seen. But even as we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we must admit that many, maybe even you, have declined to put your faith in the Redeemer. Reactions to the gospel message have not always been meek, nor have they been mild. Today, many believers are being accused of being narrow-minded, bigoted, and backward. We are supposed to be legalistic, judgmental, and standoffish. In retaliation, the unbelieving world has decided to take off the kid gloves and fight back. In our country, that fighting is done in our classrooms and courtrooms. In other countries, politics has demanded that Christianity be forbidden and all missionary work be muzzled. Where other global religions hold sway, conversion to the Christ can be punished by death. All of you have seen how ISIS and other radical groups kidnap Christian girls and women for the purpose of slavery. You have seen the pictures of men lined up for execution, guilty of no other crime than saying, "I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior." Yes, for almost 2,000 years we have been preaching Jesus Christ died and rose for you. And for just as long, people have rejected that message. Which is why I thought, this year, this Resurrection Sunday message would be done differently. Rather than telling you only what I believe, I thought I would go to my unbelieving friends and, yes, I do have unbelieving friends, and ask them, what is your stumbling block to faith in Jesus? What has stopped you from acknowledging him as your Lord? Well, I asked, and most of them, not all, but most of them replied. Let me share with you some of their answers. The first from Massachusetts said, "I don't believe because I can't. I don't know what happened on that day, but I do know Jesus didn't rise from the dead. Maybe Jesus didn't die on the cross. Maybe he went into a coma. Maybe his body was stolen. I don't know what happened, but I know Jesus didn't rise because if he did, I would have to be a Christian." You know, it surprised my friend to find out that on the first Resurrection Sunday, one of Jesus' closest friends thought the same thing. Mary Magdalene assumed that Jesus' body had been moved to a different location. Now, before I speak to that, allow me to say one thing Mary didn't consider. She never doubted Jesus had died. Why? Because she knew that the Roman whipping he had endured often killed a man right off. She had been there when he was crucified. She had seen when his body stopped writhing in pain and gasping for breath. She had seen the Romans stab Jesus with the spear, and she may have even noticed, as John did, blood and water coming out of that wound. For those of you who don't know, such separation of the blood serum from the platelets only happens when the heart has stopped beating for some time. Now, Mary knew Jesus had died. And as far as his body being moved or stolen, well, that didn't hold water either. She knew the disciples hadn't done it. They were too afraid. She knew the Romans hadn't done it. Pilate had allowed Jesus to be crucified because the Christ was supposed to be a threat to the emperor. Pilate certainly didn't want to have the rumor spread that Jesus was so powerful he had conquered the grave. As far as the Jewish religious leaders, they were the ones who had sealed the tomb and put a guard there. They had the most to lose if Jesus were alive. The truth is, that first resurrection Sunday, nobody expected Jesus to rise, and almost everyone had a vested interest in having him stay dead. But that is not the reason Mary discarded her idea that Jesus' body had been moved. The real reason is the Savior came to her, spoke her name, and having allowed her to dry her tears, see for herself he had risen. Well, today's sermon is being written by unbelievers. That was one. There were others who wrote back to me. One of them, an old pal from Colorado, called me. He said, "Hey, Ken, thanks for asking. To be honest, no one has ever really done that before, not in so many words. In reply, I will make my answer short and sweet. I'm not a Christian because I can't believe that a person can rise from the dead, at least not after having been dead for 3 days." Although my friend didn't use the term preposterous, that word fits. The idea of a person who is really dead rising from the grave is unbelievable. I've buried hundreds of people, and none of them have come back to life. Although zombies seem to be all the rage in science fiction nowadays, the truth is people don't come back from being dead. Cemeteries are filled with people who are exactly where they were placed hundreds, even thousands of years ago. And if a cemetery plot is opened and the body is not to be found, nobody, and I mean nobody, ever comes to the immediate conclusion, "Wow, Uncle Julius or Aunt Hortense has risen from the grave." No, my friend is not alone in his doubting. In fact, he is in good company. The women who first found out about the resurrection were at Jesus' grave not to greet a risen Savior. They were there to embalm a dead friend. When they told the disciples, Jesus' closest pals didn't believe the news. Even though Jesus had repeatedly told them that he was going to come back to life on the third day, they simply couldn't believe that he would make good on his promise. When 10 of the disciples told their friend that Jesus had risen from the dead, he refused to take their word. Again and again, Jesus' conquest of death was denied, doubted, and derided as utter foolishness and complete fakery by those who had been warned of the resurrection, by those who should have known. I can tell you the day came around when they put their misgivings on the shelf and came to believe that the impossible was not just possible, was not just probable, but was real and factual. They put aside all thoughts that Jesus was a ghost, or he was a figment of their imagination, or some mass hallucination, or wishful thinking on their parts. They began to change when Jesus physically, actually came to them. But seeing the Savior was not enough to dispel their doubts. He breathed on them and he ate with them. That's something ghosts and imaginary made-ups don't do. They touched him, and he willingly held out his hands for their inspection, offered his side for their examination, and if they still were not sure, they became sure when they saw him again and again and again and again. They saw him individually and as a group, and then at a crowd of over 500. Jesus' appearances happened often enough and were complete enough that eventually the doubters stopped doubting. They believed so strongly in Jesus' resurrection that they suffered martyrdom rather than denying the unique and wonderfully gracious act of God which had bestowed upon them forgiveness and salvation. Now I say that almost matter-of-factly. I shouldn't do that. It's not a small thing to hold on to your faith when a representative of ISIS is holding a gun to your head and you know you are going to die. But it's quite another thing to suffer the deaths which tradition says came to the disciples. Peter was crucified upside down and Andrew nailed to the X-shaped cross which carries his name. Both were said to have kept preaching as they died. James was beaten, stoned, and clubbed to death. Bartholomew was skinned alive. Skinned alive. Almost all could have saved themselves by denying the living Lord. All went to their graves, confident of the Christ and trusting in the resurrection he had promised to give those who were faithful unto death. Once again, let me say, this Resurrection Sunday sermon is being written by unbelievers. I have time for one last comment. This one was an email from someone I had almost lost track of. He didn't pull any punches when he wrote back. He said, "Why don't I believe? How can I? Would a God of love allow injustice like I see in the world? Would a God who cares send anyone to hell? I wouldn't do that to my worst enemies, but your so-called loving Lord says he is going to do that to those he created and cares about. No thanks. I don't need to believe in that kind of God." More than the others, that email saddened me. I could not imagine how we could look at the same God and see him so very differently. Where he sees God as the author of life's tragedies and terrors, sadnesses and sorrows, I see humankind creating and continuing to live in disobedience, wars, hunger, prejudice, injustice, and inequality. We could stop there, but we choose not to. Then, in discouragement, we lay the blame for these things at the feet of our all-caring God. We condemn him for sending souls to hell, but fail to acknowledge the fact that he has provided a means of salvation for every man, woman, and child in this world. All they need do, all my friends need do, is believe God loved the world so much. He allowed his son to live, suffer, and die so that they might be saved. Jesus' glorious third-day resurrection from the dead is his promise that there is a similar and joyful life for all who put their faith in him. In this message, I have quoted three of my unbelieving friends. God has given me the job of witnessing to them. They already have a copy of this message, and I will be visiting with them in the immediate future. But this message is also written for you, and for the people whom the Lord has laid on your heart. For almost 2,000 years, believers have been telling unbelievers about Jesus' resurrection. Will you not join the Lutheran Hour this year in sharing the Savior's story with those doubters the Lord has entrusted to you, so that they may join all of Christendom in a heartfelt, "Christ is risen, he is risen indeed"? To that end, we are at your disposal, and you are in our prayers. My friends, believe, feel free, and call us at the Lutheran Hour. Amen.
You're listening to the Lutheran Hour, and this is Action in Ministry. Pastor Gregory Seltz joins us now. And today, Pastor Seltz, we join with Christians all around the world in celebrating the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ, not so much on the chocolate bunnies and colored eggs.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And while Pastor Klaus's sermon will reach the ears of adults all across our world, we have something special for our younger listeners as well.
And Lutheran Hour Ministries has produced a number of resources specifically for children, and author Susie Salee joins us. She's written a booklet titled The Story of Easter, and we're happy to have you with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us, Susie. We've got another special guest who's with us, and we'll introduce him a little bit later. But Susie, first tell us a little bit about this book, The Story of Easter.
This booklet starts with Jesus riding in on his donkey into Jerusalem, and it takes us all the way through the story to Jesus' resurrection.
Okay.
And why was a resource like this so important to produce?
I think it's important that children understand the complete story, and so my goal was to write it on a level that they understand, and it's a great way to share the gospel with the little children.
Yeah, sometimes even the stuff we write for our children also hits us right in the heart too, doesn't it?
It is, and it's such an easy way to share the story of Easter. It's straight from the Bible, put into rhyme. It's a small booklet. I think it's visually appealing, and it's easy to just hand to a child, your grandchild, a neighbor, friend, or anybody that you can think of.
That's right.
That's right. Parents can read this booklet with their children, or kids can read it to themselves.
Yeah, and to help us get a taste of the booklet, we have a special guest with us today to read an excerpt, and his name is Hudson Bond. Hi, Hudson. How are you?
Good.
You're almost 8 years old, and your mom introduced you to this book as a way to share the events of Easter to you and your siblings. And so, again, it's really good to be here with you. Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now, listen, what I'd like you to do is just go ahead and read a part of the book. You ready? Go ahead.
They crucified him, piercing hands and his feet. Jesus knew soon his father he'd meet. Save yourself, Jesus, they shout from the crowd, making fun of our king as they boast out loud. They cast their lots by rolling the dice. They won his clothes, they didn't think twice. Father, forgive them, his love always true. Continue by saying they know not what they do. Jesus cried out, "It is finished," he said. He surrendered his life as he bowed down his head. Trusting in God, he gave up his spirit. His voice from the cross, the people did hear it.
Tell me something special. What did you really like about this book?
It rhymes.
It rhymes. It sounds cool, doesn't it? Yeah, it's a beautiful story that you read really, really well. Well, thanks for being here with us.
I love being here.
Wonderful. You did a great, great job.
Yeah.
Some parts of the Easter story are a bit graphic when you look at it in the biblical text. How did you go about making this in a kid-friendly manner?
You're right, Mark, that they are. But they're significant and important pieces of the story. And the goal is to present the story in truth, but in a way that it shares the actual events so the children can understand.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We don't want to scare them or make them fearful, but we make the graphics, the illustrations, as realistic as we can, but in a way that they will understand and appreciate.
Yeah, they still got the events of Easter, the arrest of an innocent man, his crucifixion and death, and then his coming back to life 3 days later. That would classify as a great read, especially in rhyme. But you know the cool part about it. It's true, and that's one of the reasons we want our children to know this.
Absolutely. These are some of the events that set Christianity apart from other religions, and it's a key part of our faith, and it's important that we teach that to our kids.
Right. Absolutely. There's nobody like Jesus, and this message is life-changing. You know, Christ died as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. He rose, and he lives again that we might live in him. Susie, thanks for preparing this wonderful resource to help pass along. Hudson, thank you for doing such a great job of reading
Incredible.
That for us.
I want to hear him read the whole thing.
Me too, right? Well, thank you both for being here today. All right.
Thanks
it's great.
For having us.
You're welcome. And that's our Action in Ministry segment today to bless, to empower, and to strengthen your life in Christ for others.
For your free copy of the Children's Easter Booklet, call 1-855-JOHN-3-16. That's 1-855-564-6316. Or request a copy online at LutheranHour.org. Our email address is info@LHM.org. Next week, Pastor Gregory Seltz says those who believe in Christ are blessed even though their struggles continue. Dr. Gregory Seltz, next week. Week, the Lutheran Hour shares the message of God's forgiving love for us in Jesus Christ. Your prayers and gifts help the Lutheran Hour share that good news directly through education and media, and indirectly by supporting congregations and church bodies in their outreach efforts. To learn more about the worldwide outreach of Lutheran Hour Ministries, call 1-855-564-6316. Together we are bringing Christ to the nations and the nations to the church. Now Pastor Klaus invites us to join him in praying the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and remain with us all. Amen.
And we are back once again with our speaker emeritus, Pastor Ken Klaus. I'm Mark Eicher.
And a blessed Resurrection Sunday to you and our listeners.
Resurrection Sunday. What about Happy Easter?
Now, I gave that up some time ago. Didn't feel the need to wish someone a happy day in the name of an ancient pagan goddess. Blessed Resurrection Sunday is a more appropriate Christian greeting.
And it certainly points to the Savior's resurrection. I think it also does something else.
And that something else would be?
Well, it serves as a bridge into our topic for today. We'll be comparing Easter with Christmas.
So what is the question?
While Christmas is often at the center of an ongoing culture war between believers and non-believers, this Sunday that we celebrate the resurrection is more or less a pretty much unheralded event. So the question is, shouldn't Easter be celebrated with more enthusiasm than Christmas?
Fascinating and insightful question. Mark, there are a number of reasons why Christmas gets top billing over the resurrection.
And would one of those be that we center Christmas on Jesus the baby?
A profound assessment of the situation, my friend. Truth is, everybody can get on board when it's time for the celebration of a cute, cuddly infant's entry into the world. You don't have to be a believer to say Merry Christmas. That's because most everybody rejoices in the celebration of a new life in this world. On the other hand, the death of Jesus is not the kind of thing that appeals to many.
I suppose it's kind of like the difference between a birthday party and a funeral. But you said there were other reasons?
I did. As we already stated, you don't have to be a believer to put up a Christmas tree, give presents, or send a Christmas card with a picture of you and your dog. On the other hand, to remember Christ's death, you are also obligated then to deal with the resurrection.
And at that point, now you're dealing with matters of faith as well.
Yes, anyone who says Christ is risen is making a statement of belief about the Redeemer.
They're saying Jesus is not your average Joe.
Indeed, to rise from the dead is something only God can do. And the world isn't ready to acknowledge Jesus as God's Son. If you do that, you have to accept all the other things the Scripture says about Jesus and the salvation he has won. Mark, now it's my turn to ask a question.
All right.
Why did this question come in right after Christmas?
Right, it came in after Christmas. We've been holding it till now. I believe our listener was reacting to the world's ongoing attacks on Christmas. You know, things like you can't put up a manger scene in a public place, you can't have public school children singing Christmas carols or taking a Christmas break.
Yeah, that kind of cultural war happens every year. Of course, the outcome of those battles changes from place to place.
And what do you mean by that?
I'm thinking of the small town of Wadena, Minnesota. For years, the city council there had put up a manger scene in the town park. That changed when they were threatened with a lawsuit if they continued the practice.
And I understand they reluctantly gave the manger scene to some clergy who put it up in a public place.
And that's where these kinds of battles usually stop. But this time, it didn't.
What happened next?
Well, the citizens of Wadena took a stand. They didn't like being pushed around told how to witness their faith. So they started to put up manger scenes in their front yards. Storekeepers put them in their storefront windows. Some said there were more mangers in Wadena than there were people.
So they were taking a bold, very public stand.
Yeah, and that's not all. Someone read up on the laws of the community and found that private citizens could rent the bandshell in the park, which once had displayed the old community creche. When that became known, people took turns renting the place for the day. They set up a creche in the morning, and in the evening they took it down.
Well, that's a very creative way to deal with it.
Oh, it was, and I share the story for a purpose. Believers can make a personal difference when they take a stand, either at Christmas
or today, which is why you wished us a blessed Resurrection Sunday.
Yeah, that's exactly why.
Thank you, Pastor Klaus. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.